I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
I've never said I want to out of here. I'm not happy where we're at. I don't want to lose. We have to get better. But I've never said I want to out of here. I thought that was pretty clear. You got to do hard work every day, and you know, we had a really good discussion. We were very honest with each other. Stuff has to change. That's how it is, and I absolutely hate losing. I don't think that's a part of who I want to be. So, you know, stuff has to change.
Sabres captain Rasmus Dahlin post practice yesterday, which was post Sabres Live yesterday, as this topic was starting to become a bit of a, you know, major talking point in the hockey world. And welcome in on Sabres Live. It's game day, Buffalo at Detroit tonight.
Is this when we use the expression a fly on the ointment? Because, you know, the other day we're talking about gremlins on the lines. And we're like, what's the equivalent of that? Was that topic of conversation on social media mostly yesterday considered a fly on the ointment, something that won't go away?
Well, the phrase is fly in the ointment, I don't think that's right for this situation. No, okay. Not at all. but the situation.
Okay, suspend me 20 games for using the wrong expression. We'll follow up on yesterday's show.
I believe that was hinted at yesterday by our audience. Thank you. Yes. So, staying true to form, why are we talking about this? Because of Paul Bissonnette, spitting chiclets, and the suggestion that based on Dahlin's meeting with General Manager Kevin Adams last week, that Dahlin, according to Bissonnette, said, if things don't change, if it doesn't improve quick, I'm out of here. So Dahlin addressed questions to that topic yesterday post-practice, which is what we're leading the show with. Of course, I want your input on this, but I also immediately wonder, how much does this topic dominate TNT's coverage tonight, since it's not our game and it's their game, Buffalo and Detroit, that starts at 7:30 with, of course, a half-hour pregame?
Well, there's a few different things. Number one, timing is everything in life, and I think that knowing that the game was on TNT tonight and that Paul Bissonnette is a panelist on the pregame and intermission postgame, so probably it was planted in that way. Look, it's going to be a talking point. They're going to talk about it. And it's not going to be the whole talking point, but I know that they will have to address it. Why? Because Bissonnette said it and then kind of backed off of it a little bit on the Jeff Merrick show yesterday afternoon. So it's like, or I don't think it's called the Jeff Merrick show anymore, but with Jeff on Sheets. Yeah. With Jeff Merrick, but
no, the Sheet.
The Sheet on
no extra S. We're not going in the bedroom, Marty. It's the Sheet, like a sheet of ice. No, granted, if it was a five-pad complex, yes, there would be sheets.
There would be many sheets. If it was Northtown Center, it would be many sheets, or Amherst Center, or whatever it's called. Anyway, I'm going down a wrong path here, but my point is...
Quick, yes, name all the sponsors of over the years of Northtown. Never mind.
I know two, I think. But anyway, here's the thing. Yes, they'll talk about it because it's one of their panelists said something. Two, okay, Rasmus Dahlin addressed it. If this was, let's pick a team somewhere. If this was Roman Josi in Nashville, I don't know, we'd talk about it because it was somebody saying something. Apparently, I'm telling what I heard, this, that, the other thing. And a player, you know, comes out and says, that's not true. I want to win. I'm a competitor. It's been addressed. If there was any other team, we wouldn't talk about it because I don't like talking about podcast rumors. I don't like talking about people that put things out there without being, you know, and I'm going to say insiders, but even Bissonnette says, I'm not an insider. I just, apparently, that may have been said. And I'm just, well, you know what? Like when Dragger comes on, he's not going to say, well, apparently, he's going to talk about things that he's heard directly, not from many other sources. And that's why sometimes insiders now are almost like less in the know that, you know, other people, because other people are just making up stuff. Or maybe they know 50% of the story, but they make up the other 50%. So that's the thing. That's why, you know, we're talking about it now because it's the Sabres and it's Rasmus Dahlin. So, yeah. Was there a conversation between Dahlin and the Sabres, Kevin Adams, talking about where they are? Obviously, he said, we had an honest conversation. And that's not the first time. They've had plenty of honest conversation. Kevin Adams has had conversation with Tage Thompson, with everybody, right? With all the guys, veterans, young guys. That happens. Two, does Rasmus Dahlin want to win? 100% he wants to win. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want to sit here and miss the playoff for, you know, whatever, how many years.
Seven straight for him.
Yeah, seven straight. Like, he wants to be in the playoffs. He wants to be able to compete like he did at the Four Nations face-off with Team Sweden. He wants to bring that to the team. He's the captain. So, yes, that is another important point, that if you're going to be honest with one another, sometimes you're going to say, I hate losing. I don't want to lose. I want to win. Let's fix it. Let's figure it out. Well, you know what? Days after that meeting, going into the trade deadline, the Sabres traded Dylan Cousins. Dylan Cousins was a big part of this core for, you know, the last two, three seasons. We talked about Thompson, Cousins, Tuck, Dahlin, Power. Like, that was the core. They moved a piece of their core. And Kevin Adams says, there's probably going to be more business to be done this summertime because, well, the trade deadline is kind of limited a little bit if you're not a playoff team and you're dealing with teams that maybe are not in a position to add, but there may be more. And so was that a positive conversation? I bet it was, but this was spun and put out on a podcast, and podcast that has a lot of views, and then people went rampant with it.
I think this and that, whether, I mean, I can't imagine him. You're saying he said to Marek that he's not an insider? Because I think most people would say there's not many analysts on TV that are more inside than Bissonnette right now, based on who he works for and who he talks to and who he hears from.
Players,
he may not want
to
be thought of as Bob
time.
McKenzie, Darren Dreger, Elliot Friedman.
Yeah.
But he's an insider. Let's be real here.
He, so he did say, I'm not an insider. And I think Jeff Merrick said the same thing, to the effect that, oh, okay, like, you know things, right? You talk to a lot of people, and you're in a position working for a national broadcast that you will get information from other people you work with.
The league actively promotes his work, which sometimes surprises people.
How, like, okay, I like that the Kevin Weeks and the PK Subban and the Paul Bissonnette, they're all connected to ESPN TNT with the league. They get information from the league. They will get things. Hey, I'm hearing, you know, this is happening. Then you get breaking news with Weeksy's, you know, eyes and head in a post. That happens. So, yeah, now you get a surgically repaired knee picture with his post, right? But yeah, so he did say, I'm not an insider, but I think that was kind of, again, maybe downplaying the whole situation. And then the biggest thing too, Duffer, is that yesterday during our show, our mentions on X were a lot of people upset. We weren't talking about it. And a lot of people, like, why are you guys not talking about this? Number one, like, we're not going to have a conversation based on rumors without having the right people involved in the conversation. Once Dallin spoke to the media, which he did as soon as we got off the air, I said to our producer, Jeff, oh, Rasmus is talking to the media now. Practice was over. It was a later practice. He's speaking to the media. Perfect. Now we can have a little bit more of a base for what is going on. We're getting reactions and clarifications from the parties that supposedly are involved. So, okay, well, then we'll talk about it. But I wasn't going to go talk about, oh, apparently this is happening, and start making up stuff without knowing from the people what is actually happening.
Right. So what is the impact of this moment in time where we and everybody else is talking about this? What does it do to Dallin? What does it do for anybody else in your mind that's in some way connected to how people are viewing this situation?
What the impact is, I think, is what we saw at the deadline is, look, Dennis Gilbert was a Buffalo kid that had, you know, maybe not a big role on the team, but still people loved in the locker room. And, well, Dylan Cousins was moved, and the Sabres threw in a second-round pick to make the deal happen. And I felt like, okay, like, they're kind of going for it. And maybe the point is that, look, we're all friends here in the locker room. Dylan's friends with everybody, but this is not about being friends. This is about winning. This is about a team, an organization, a fan base that we want to go in the right direction. And so those comments now are even more, the fact that Rasmus says, I ain't losing, I don't want to lose. Okay? I want things to change. I don't want to be out of here if they don't change. But there's no if they don't change. I want things to change. Like, I think that's the thing. Everybody thinks that, if things don't change, okay. Well, nobody wants to miss the playoffs. Nobody wants to be last in the Eastern Conference. Things are going to change. 2 years ago, they missed by a point. Last year was disappointing. But you couldn't just do an overall of things and say, oh, 1 year, we're going to change everything. Now this has been 2 years that has been disappointing. And this year probably more disappointing than last. So you're looking at it and saying, okay, now things are going to change. And Dylan Cousins was the first piece that dropped. And there will be other piece. And I think that the captain's saying, things have to change. I hate losing. That's a heavy, heavy, kind of weight that kind of pushes things around. And I think that's, what Kevin Adams is looking to do.
True, but it's not the first time Dallin has said this, nor would you be like, obviously it's deep into his first season as captain.
That's the thing. There's a difference when you're the captain.
So.
Like Calaposo was a good captain, I felt, for the players and the experience that he had. But mm-hmm. Cal wasn't going to look long-term and say, if in 3 years we're not making the playoffs and not competitive and not competing for the top of the Atlantic, I want to go somewhere else or I want things to change. He wasn't going to be playing in 3 years. It was a different approach. But now Rasmus Dahlin is your captain and he's saying, I want to win. And look at the season he's having personally, the numbers he's putting, and he's showing what he can do and what he wants to do. And there's still more there. With team success, his ceiling is just going to keep rising. Well, that's what he basically laid out with.
Based on the trade that you talked about that did happen at the deadline, Cousins going to Ottawa and Norris coming to Buffalo, and the immediate success Cousins has had with the Senators team that is now, they're not comfortable yet, but they have created a little bit of a cushion, especially against Detroit, a team that has gone exactly in the opposite direction of Ottawa over the last half dozen games. And again, it's a super small sample size right now. But I'm wondering, like, if Dylan has a tear here towards the end of the year and they make the playoffs and whatever, what do you think? And this is completely unfair because Norris doesn't really have this opportunity in the sense of chasing a playoff spot, right? So these are completely different situations that the two of them are walking into. Mm-hmm. But I'm wondering what you think it would mean to further change and how Buffalo would evaluate, okay, what change do we make next? What, you know, does it change the direction of, and this is more of a geographical direction of where we make transactions?
Meaning, I'm just like curious, the East, like, versus the West?
Obviously, our fan base is sitting here watching Dylan Cousins' every move right now, right? That's human nature as a sports fan. You're always going to watch people that were on your team, right? I'm just wondering how you put it all in the big picture here and how you view it moving forward.
Look, you traded Dylan Cousins to the Ottawa Senators. They're in your division, not let alone your conference, your division. But you're hoping, and you make the trade without any fears of what that's going to do, you know, in your division. It's inside your locker room, inside your team with Josh Norris, mm-hmm. and him being a player that you think will produce and be a fit and make your team better. When Casey Milstead was traded last year, I think we went through a little bit of the same thing last year with Milstead getting traded to Colorado. Milstead gets to Colorado and he says, oh, look at how they practice and the pace and this and that. And he had 2 goals and 3 assists in his first six games. He like was 5 points in 6 games. And everyone was, look at Casey. He's a different player in Colorado. Well, Casey's not in Colorado anymore. Why? Because they're like, he's not the type of player we thought he was. And I'm not saying that's what I want for Casey Milstead. I'm not saying that's what I want for Dylan Cousins. Mm-hmm. But I'm also saying it's not about Milstead or Cousins. It's about Byram and Norris and the players that you acquired. And what are they going to do to your team? It's hard to evaluate Josh Norris. And it will be hard to evaluate Josh Norris for the next 20 games. Why? Because, or 19 games, or whatever it is, because they're not in a playoff position. They're not playing for that let's get in and the desperation. Look, Dylan Cousins had a nice goal yesterday. Made it 4-2. He, you know, after a turnover, he walked in, shot, and scored. But look at Brady Tkachuk. He has 7 goals in his last 7 games. Mm-hmm. And after a disaster against Detroit, they win 2-1 because of Allmark. He scores 24 seconds into the game. And he's like, so that's the difference. Ottawa is in that place right now where Cousins is benefiting from everybody is elevated, right? Where in Buffalo, it's not feeling like that, but you have to find a way internally, individually, to get it done. But this is not I'm evaluating the trade now. This is going to be, I'm going to evaluate the trade in a year and 2 years from now, see what Norris is doing and what end up happening. This is not a who wins it. It's just, are the Sabres going to be better game one next year with that trade?
Right, and when we look at the Eastern Conference standings and see that Ottawa is 5-0-1 in the last six, and Columbus, despite falling last night to New Jersey, they are the two wildcard holders. Now, I don't want to look too far ahead here, but I'm sure the Senators are trying to look ahead rather than behind. They're only 5 points back of the Lightning. So there's obviously a carrot there for Ottawa to chase. Columbus is 2 points clear of Montreal, the Rangers, and Boston, which makes this ultra tight. And Detroit, with losing 6 in a row heading into tonight's matchup with Buffalo, all in regulation, and they've lost 8 of their last 10. Yeah, are they still in it? Sure, they're only 4 points back at Columbus. But this has been a now very, very, very impactful stretch for them, and they'll have Peter Mrazek in goal tonight, by all reports, and that will be, you know, the fourth and final meeting with the Sabres tonight. The Red Wings have won 2, Buffalo's won 1, the Sabres won 1-1 this season against Detroit.
So Detroit is in a little bit of a rough spot right now. You said losing 6 all in regulation, it's not gone well. Excuse me, they had the game at the in Ohio State at the Stadium Series where they came back and then lost. They've had some games. The game at Ottawa, they come back, it's 1-1, they lose late. They've had some heartbreakers along the way. It's funny how 10 games can change the way your team is going. Like Tampa Bay Lightning went 9-1, right, in a 10-game stretch. They're only 5 points up on the Ottawa Senators. If they had gone 6-4 instead of 9-1, they probably would be in the wild card spot right now. Maybe. But and that now Florida, without Ekblad and without, you know, Tkachuk and Marchand, Marchand's going to come back, but they were up 2-0 on Boston. It was cruise control night. And then they gave up three in the, and it was actually way more than that because they gave up three in the third. And, you know, Boston has now won two games without Brad Marchand around. And it's like a 10-game stretch can change a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And that's why, like, all these teams battling right now. You look at last night, New York loses, Montreal wins, Columbus loses. It's like, wow, there's a lot of movement every day in the NHL, especially in the East.
Good thing Nashville pulled one out against the Sharks last night. Otherwise, we'd be having a discussion about the failure of no-tax states hockey teams.
Yeah, because they
Vegas and the Florida Crew were unsuccessful last night. But no, it's pretty wild, like just how, I mean, I think one of the bigger stories, obviously, is Boston rallying and keeping themselves very much in it here. They were a selling team that has had a disappointing year with a coaching change. And yet, if you saw, well, I mean, I didn't watch the entire game. There were plenty of other options. Mm-hmm. But every whistle in the third period produced ridiculous scrums. And then eventually a fight, right? And it was Zadorov and Bennett. And if anybody thought Boston wasn't engaged in this, just look at Zadorov and how that whole thing ended. And it's almost,
I love Big Z.
And this needs to be, you know, reinforced because I think we've probably, this is a lot of sports combined and Boston area success. And what we have, you know what I mean? Like this is built for decades.
Yes.
So people wanted to jump on the Bruins for having a bad year and likely missing the playoffs, right? They're still playing without their top two defensemen and have for huge chunks of this year. This Boston team with Lindholm and McAvoy 100% healthy and a proper start to the year for Jeremy Swayman, we're probably not having this discussion. So
yeah, do I think that Boston is a good team? Like you look at their rosters. No, I don't think it's a team that I say should be a top eight in the Eastern Conference. I don't. But they're showing some battle. And why are they showing battle? Because they've been a top team in the NHL. They have players on that team that are still there. The, you know, Pasternak and Zacha. And, you know, even, you know, you talk about Zadorov. Zadorov has been on teams that have competed, that have been in that position. Now, that situation with Nikita Zadorov and Seth Bennett yesterday was hilarious because people are saying, oh, Zadorov's sending a message here. He hates Bennett. And after the game, Zadorov goes, I'm not sending a message. A guy cross-checked me in the face. What am I going to do? Just sit there and take it? No, I got to defend myself. And he goes, so, you know, if people think I play hard, I play hard all the time, and it doesn't matter if it's Bennett or somebody else. He clocked him with one, and then everybody that was being asked in the Boston locker room, I think they talked to Lowry about Zadorov, and he goes, yeah, the big man, he was angry, and it was kind of comical. So I was dying because, yeah, he's a character, Zadorov, and he responded, and Boston responded with it, but I don't think Boston makes the playoff. I'll say Boston's not, to me, a team that's going to make the playoffs. And I struggle on Columbus. Like, this was against a New Jersey team that is hurting right now.
Yeah,
but they,
this is why we talked about their depth. The Devils are really deep. As much as they wanted to add bigger at the deadline, and in my opinion, didn't, they're obviously quite capable of overcoming this. And Markstrom was really good, I thought.
Well, that's the difference, right? I think Markstrom was really good, but our buddy Paul Cotter had a fantastic goal, great speed, and he scored what was a 2-0 goal at the time.
Coming out of the box. Yeah.
Coming out of the – yeah, I mean, breakaway, great move. But Heischer and Brat – look, Cody Glass is playing second-line center, basically where Luke Hughes would have been, and like, that's not going to work. Well, you know what? He performed well yesterday, and he had a goal and assist in the game. So he had 2 assists, I should say. That's exactly what New Jersey wanted. But New Jersey is looking back at the Rangers, and, well, it helps when you win, the Rangers lose, and now it gives you a little bit of a breather, right? And I think that's what it is for the Devils.
So tomorrow will be appetizing. It's Boston at Ottawa. The Sabres play the Bruins 2 more times, and the Bruins and Devils play 2 more times. Yep. So those are just some of the intriguing matchups here moving forward. You may have gathered by my attire tonight that not only are the Sabres playing this evening against Detroit, but the Amerks are back in action at home. They're still not 100% healthy from the flu, but head coach Michael Leone will be back behind the bench tonight as they take on Charlotte, 7:05 at Blue Cross Arena. We're expecting Devin Levi in goal. But of course, no Josh Dunn, no Isaac Rosanne, as those two remain up with the Sabres. So these are, you know, and we're expecting to see Eric Brandstrom acquired at the deadline through the Rangers, and he'd been playing with Hartford in the AHL, expecting Brandstrom to get in his first game with the Amerks. We've got speaking of the Amerks, soon to be Amerks Hall of Famer, Ryan Miller is going to be coming up here on the show in just a few minutes. And our next home game here in Buffalo, it's Vegas on Saturday. It's an early start, all the more reason to enjoy the St. Paddy's Day celebration. 12:30 on Saturday, March 15th. The Golden Knights are here. St. Paddy's Day celebration presented by Topps Friendly Markets. There's special giveaways and games in the concourse. It's, of course, one of Buffalo's best holiday traditions. Visit sabres.com/tickets to purchase yours today. We're back after this.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. 1. It's $15 a month. 2. Seriously, it's $15 a month. 3. No big contract. 4. I use it. 5. My mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
We're back with more of Sabres Live.
presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
We are surrounded by wins now in Sabres history on Sabres Live. Number one and number four all-time victories in the crease in Sabres Hall of Famer Ryan Miller and Mr. Everything, Marty Baron. Ryan, thank you. As he scoffs at me, Millsy, I guess I didn't pump him up enough, but it is great to have you back on the show. How are you?
I'm doing good, boys. Good to see you.
Hey, Millsy,
nice to see you.
Isn't it true if you ain't first, you're last? So who cares if I'm fourth? You're first. So I'm tied for last with the rest of them.
I mean, Ricky Bobby starts to make a lot of sense.
Yeah. Right. that would have been a locker room, you know, like staples, right? Like Talladega Nights and those movies back in the days. Like anything you can quote from these comedies, especially the group that was you and Roysey and Van and you know, that would have been just comments after comments after comments.
Oh yeah, well, we created a few of our own too. So yeah.
Some that we won't say on TV radio. Yes, you're right.
Yeah, we're trying to get some of those boys to come back in a couple of weeks. So I'm making some phone calls, dragging them out, hopefully, to our charity event in April. So,
yeah, we are just about a month out from two big nights for you, Amherst Hall of Fame, but the night prior, which is what you're alluding to here. I mean, we can't wait. This is something that you started during your career, Ryan Miller's Catwalk for Charity, and it is back once again this year, and it happens on April the 10th.
Yeah.
And New Era Foundation is the presenting sponsor. Tell us what has you excited about this year as far as, like, how it's themed, some of the guests you expect to be there, and just what kind of night it will be with some new partners.
I mean, obviously, we've shifted gears over the years. Last year, we were seeing if anybody remembered us, and it went well. And I think this year is a little bigger scope. Like, we're hoping to expand a little bit. And with the alumni event and the summertime, the wine event is not going to be happening anymore. So I'm hoping that this can become another alumni type event, because we're getting a lot of alumni committing to coming back. We're getting some guys from other teams and other celebrities from around Buffalo to kind of come and team up, give a different look. And we're joined by a bunch of great brands in the Buffalo fashion world. So, you know, they're putting together their best looks and their best vibes, and we're going to have a lot of fun.
Well, you said last year, as my phone's ringing in the house, who calls the house phone? That doesn't happen anymore. I don't know how to turn that ringer off. As you said, last year, you know, brought the event back, and it was a ton of fun, and the fan base absolutely loved it. Like, how does it make you feel to come back into, you know, Buffalo, launch the Catwalk for Charity again, and get that love from the fan base, knowing that, look, you're always going to be remembered here and always going to be appreciated here?
Well, it just meant a lot to me that I was able to maintain that relationship. And, you know, a big part of my time in Buffalo was, you know, that connection to the community and feeling accepted and just looking forward to getting back in a different way. I think this, you know, in the prior events, it was always the current team, and there's a lot of energy surrounding that. This time we get to take a little bit different look and have some fun with it, with, you know, bringing some guys back. I thought one of the cooler parts of the event last year was having Rhett Warner, JP Dumont really front and center for their involvement with Carly's Club, Encourage a Carly, and how that connection all kind of came together with Rhett Warner's relationship with the family and the group of the hospital, and then JP Dumont carrying that forward and really introducing me to that side of things, where it really aligned with some experiences my family went through with my cousin and his battles with cancer. So really a full circle kind of moment. And now that we kind of have that full circle, we're back, we're trying to do it bigger. And I think it's great. We're going to have a little more of an accessible situation, a little bit bigger venue. I think ticket prices are a good place. And there's going to be a lot to do, a lot of people to meet, a lot of people to talk to. And that's the main thing for me. I always liked our events are really social, interactive, and it was something where you got to really see the personalities and it wasn't an event where you got to just stare at your favorite player. It was, you got to hang out. And that was important to me, because, Buffalo is a community. You can't just stare at everybody. You got to know who everybody is.
Indeed. And along with Sabres alumni Thurman Thomas, Benny the Butcher, Dane Smith, Josh Byrne, Megan Chayka, among the many who will be in attendance, tickets are $65 starting at, and then there's VIP for $175. You can learn all about this at sabres.com, and there's a link, obviously, for this huge night. And you mentioned some of the brand partners, the creative fashion folks that are in our community, and many of them already woven into the sporting fabric here, like Justician and 26 Shirts and Cafe and Vintage Raider. It's so cool. And then, of course, because of what you just said, it needs to be reinforced. And this was a big part of your retirement night, Hall of Fame jersey, here in Buffalo. The Sabres and the creation of the Ryan Miller Legacy Endowment Fund and how it benefits the Courage of Carly. Now that you're removed from it all these months, I know it's years, but it doesn't feel like it. But
we have to admit it this year.
Yeah. I know, because you were so open with us that night and that week here in Buffalo when you were honored. How does it feel now that it really does have the wheels of continuation and impact in the community?
Well, it's just been nice to have that relationship be much more open, and I can get back, and getting back to honor Rob Ray and being around for that was important. And, I just trying to be available for some of these moments and, hoping to see, more of this kind of happen. There's a lot of guys who meant a lot to the community and the team over the years. And hopefully we keep doing some things like that happened for Rob. And hopefully we can keep, we have a good response to this charity event. We can kind of keep this going as a yearly thing. And keeping that connection of the guys, it's good to check in on the guys and get them out together and have them come home in a way where they can interact with the community and the guys and makes them feel good about their time in Buffalo. And certainly love to check in on the boys. And it's nice to schedule something, right? get it on the books, and then, they got to show up.
Not only did everybody showed up for the event, but most showed up for the after event last year where, when you get the guys together, you find a few spots in the city that maybe existed 20 years ago, maybe didn't, and we just created new spots. How is that important for you to know that it's a great event, everybody gets together, but it's just the friendship, the relationships, even with some that are not hockey players, are not Sabres alumni, but were part of the running crew maybe from back in the days.
Yeah, I mean, you get to see a lot of old friends. It was harder for me to keep up with that over the years, transitioning away from the team after being, traded and built and continuing my career somewhere else and then having a family. It's not like there's a ton of time to offer into some of these situations. So it's great to come back and still feel like, those relationships were real and solid, and you still talk to those people and we still show up for each other. And that's the cool part about it. We do get a good group out and it's not just the hockey boys, it's definitely beyond that.
You kept me out way past my bedtime last year. I'll tell you this. I struggled for like a week
ago,
after
Marty.
That. 2 years ago. Sorry. Yeah. That's why, because I can't even remember. It was so late when I got home.
Marty's still recovering.
I'm still recovering. Yeah. Hey, look, let me ask you this, because obviously you're doing work with the Sharks as, the goalie development and everything. Jonathan Quick just signed a 1-year extension. Quickie good. What do you think of what he's doing? He's staying for one more year with the Rangers as Shesterkin's backup. He doesn't want to do the charity events yet. He wants to keep playing. That's his thing.
Yeah. I mean, play as long as you can. He's younger than me. I wanted to play as long as I could too. We just got to a point where that probably wasn't aligning with a few other things. So like body and other needs of the family and stuff. So yeah, I tell everybody, or it was told to me when I was in the middle of my career, play as long as you can, make them kick you out, essentially. So obviously he's still a productive player, so keep going.
Ryan, that definitely describes your time in Rochester. And after your catwalk for charity, you're going into the Amherst Hall of Fame the next night. Give us a sense of just what you remember most about how it started in Rochester and what the takeaway is now before this special night.
For me, it's just paying the respect to Rochester. It was it's a fun community. We had a lot of really good times there. I'm starting to hear a little bit from the guys I played with more in Rochester have been reaching out about some stuff, and some memories and some things like that. And it was an important time for a lot of the guys in the Sabres' lives. I think that we expect a lot of the young players these days. We want them to come in and be masterful. And I certainly at the time thought, like every young player does, like you can come in and just figure it out really quick and everything's gonna be awesome. But no, I appreciated my time in Rochester because we had a very serious mission laid down by the upper management and then the ownership and the management in Rochester too. They want to be a contending team. They want to be a playoff team. And that was known from the start. And it wasn't just like, oh, you're just a bunch of kids. They surrounded us with some great veterans, Chris Taylor, Jason Bottrell, Matt Cullen, guys who knew how to play. Doug Huda, 1 year he's my defenseman. Next year he's my coach, stuff like that. So it was a great experience. And those guys, I think when you look at how they handled themselves and the way they played, it taught us a lot. And the time there taught us a lot. And the community was awesome. We had a lot of fun there, lived in different parts of the area, and really got to know that part of the world. And it was a really early stage of my life still. I just moved away from home. I did live away from home earlier in my hockey career, but I went home for college. So it was really my first chance to step away, do things on my own. Rochester was the place. So it was meaningful and not a place I got a chance to get back to. So I'm interested to get back to Rochester and check in and say hi.
Yeah, well, I beat you to the Rochester Hall of Fame. So that's my claim to fame. I was first in that one. Doesn't matter. But I do remember the first Scott Metcalf meeting, my first training camp, and he got all the boys at center ice, or guys like Mike Hurlbut or Randy Cunningworth. And we had a trip in Providence 1 year. We had amassed like a ton of team bonus money, and we went for team dinner, and Mike Harder, we thought we lost him in the city. Like, it was like, those are the things that really build the, your experience, right? Is there one thing like that trip in Providence, I think would be the one thing that I was like, okay, like, this is crazy. We're a bunch of young kids, but we're having fun. Is there one thing that you can single out, like a game, a playoff series, the lockout year in the NHL, like, was there 1 year that you can single out?
No, I mean, it all was great. I think those first experiences of like, hey, we got 3-3 and they're all the first ones on the road. We got to stop by the home game and then we got to swing out to somewhere in Pennsylvania. Like, like that's the kind of stuff where you're like, okay, what are we doing? Like, this is crazy. Like how in motion you are for like 3 or 4 days of the week, and then how stationary you are for like 3 or 4 days of the week.
Yeah.
Like you have a chance to practice and you have a chance to kind of goof off of the guys in town, which is what we made a point of doing. Was we knew we had a 4 or 5 day window, we would plan something.
Mm-hmm. And like having a band practice with Tom Askey, like that was planned. Like that was, that was probably where it all started.
But that's the point you kind of get to. You're just like, well, how many times can you, it's upstate New York, right? So there's cold moments. So it's not like you can be like, hey, we're going to go golfing today, boys. It's like, you got to have some indoor events and like, you can only play, like we're playing cards and games on the road all the time. It's like, you can't just go sit in a room and play cards all day. So it's like, that's kind of, you kind of get to know each other. I guess that's something that was kind of important to the team dynamic was we were looking to hang out together, and we were motivated by the fact that we had a lot of time and we didn't want to be bored. And I think that's also a sign of the personalities on the team, motivated people looking to, either be better or looking to do something interesting. And that's kind of how it all kind of came together. So really great group dynamics. Still talk to a bunch of the guys, Tom Askey, Steve Lindgren, guys who were a lot of fun to be on team with.
Tom is still playing musically. Yeah. He's a great follow on Instagram. Yeah. Are you still playing?
Here and there, the guitar case is, my daughter likes to just open the guitar case and get into that velvet part. It's like really soft. So if I got the guitar out of it, I'll play some stuff and she'll just kind of sit in there and mess with it. But I don't know. I've been trying to get Bodhi a little bit more interested in it. Like my wife's got an old guitar that just can kind of sit around, and he just kind of sit in his room. And once in a while you'll kind of hear it, but trying to let him take to it. I don't want to like force too much. You know how it is with kids.
Yeah. No, I remember you telling us before about just how they're, picking up music almost organically, right? Like from what you listen to and how cool that experience is. Ryan, we can't wait to see you again. A little under a month, two big nights here. It starts with your catwalk for charity on April 10th. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, we'll be in town a little bit early, catch a Sabres game, and hopefully see some friends. So it'll be fun.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Ryan Miller's Catwalk for Charity is April 10th. You can go to sabres.com/catwalk. And of course, head to amherst.com to find out more about his Hall of Fame night the very next night in Rochester. We're back after this on Sabres Live.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Just a couple of minutes to go on this Sabres game day for us here on Sabres Live. They will take on Detroit tonight. It's on TNT. You can hear the game on WGR Sports Radio 550. Marty and I will be back at some point in our pre- and post-game form, presumably this weekend, but, to be determined.
Saturday afternoon.
Yes. Noon.
Noon. That's a matinee.
With a 12:30 start. Okay. Birthdays. This is amazing. Evgeny Dodonov is 36, and we are almost 3 years removed from his trade to Anaheim that got voided on March the 21st, only to have him return to Vegas and score a goal with two assists, 3 points, and a win over Nashville on March the 24th. He could have never known when he was 33. What was going to be in store just a couple of weeks later. Now here he is, 36. He's trending towards a 50-point season with the mighty Dallas Stars. Happy birthday, Evgeny Dodonov.
Happy birthday, Dodonov, or Dadanov, and turn back to Dodonov. That's what happens when you get older. People don't know how to say your last name, and it changes all the time. And also, because of Evgeny Dodonov, the Ottawa Senators lost a draft pick because they did not let Vegas know that they had no trade protection. And that is why we get the trade calls that was posted on NHL social with the Sabres and Ottawa Senators. Exactly. It's like a 7 minutes of what? But is there anything in this call that you need to make the other team aware? Like that's because of Dodonov.
So what do you expect tonight? Buffalo-Detroit, final meeting of the year. We know what Detroit's chasing, and we know what Buffalo's trying to establish.
Well, I think Detroit is going to play with a bit more intensity than what we've seen of late. And look, the Ottawa game was good all the way till the end, but I didn't think they were good. Peter Mrazek, for me, is a question mark because he's not been good with Chicago, but I think he's going to get a lot of energy playing in Detroit.
All right, stay with Sabres.com, Sabres Social for any lineup news as it develops throughout the day. Enjoy the game. We'll see you tomorrow.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With TikTok ads, our revenue went up $10 million year over year during back-to-school season. Penn Foster is online education. TikTok is great because the reach is incredible for finding a lot of different types of audiences on the platform. Creator content at scale allowed us to easily develop and distribute creator-led ads. Our return on ad spend for TikTok is 21% higher than the next best channel.
Start growing your business today. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.